chapter 2. Case study is Anna. Some of you said, did you have a good conference last week? I went up to what's called the FEW, the Fellowship of Evangelical Workers Conference, run by a chap called Roger Carswell and his team at the FEW conference. And there was a good number there. But one of the guys, Vinnie Commons, was leading a session. And Vinnie actually came to faith many years ago through the ministry of Dick Saunders, so he told us. And he said, I'll tell you another story. I was a teacher. And I went into my classroom, and one of the students said, sir, what did you do at the weekend? And I said, look, you won't be interested. Oh, go on, sir, tell us, what did you do at the weekend? And then he said, well, we went down to the town centre in Leeds, and we did some evangelism. And the kid said, no, you didn't. He said, I did. No, you didn't. He said, I did. He said, sir, next time you go and do vandalism, can we come? Communication. What gets out isn't always what gets in. And we are called to be evangelistic in attitude. Jesus said, go into all the world and share the good news. Now, when you plant a bamboo tree, I haven't got it. I thought I'd got a picture of one. I have got a picture of one. Can I go back? Am I frozen? I know, but can we go back to the first slide? Thank you. If you go online, you can find one, okay? If you plant a Chinese bamboo tree, you'll need to nurture it, water it, and feed it every day, and then be patient. Because for that first year, you see nothing. No results, not even a tiny shoot. During the second year, nothing. Third year, zilch. Nothing at all. Fourth year, surely, nope, nothing at all. Four long years of looking at a patch of soil where you planted that seed. But then on the fifth year, it is just awesome. One morning you wake up and you see a small bamboo sprig. And then the next day, an even bigger one. And in 5 weeks, it has grown 90 feet. Wow. 4 years of nothing, and then in just that next period, in year five, it goes from a sprig 90 feet tall. And you can watch it on YouTube or Google it on the internet if you want to see it. You could say that outwardly, for most of its life, it doesn't do anything. But actually, inwardly, something is happening. You're just not aware of it. So in the end, it's the end you see and not the beginning. And I think the story of Anna is a bit like that in the Bible. Her story is brief. We pick the story up at the end of her life. So like that bamboo seed that's been planted, we don't really know anything. But at the end of the life, boy, what a spiritual giant she is amongst those around her. And her story packs a punch. And there are four characteristics I want to draw out from the story that apply to all of us. And especially as we apply it in the context of evangelism. And the key verse for me is the end of verse 38. And spoke about the child to all, so anyone who would listen, she spoke about Jesus to everyone who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, when Jerusalem will be saved. The Living Bible paraphrases it this way. She also began thanking God and telling everyone in Jerusalem who had been awaiting the coming of the Savior that the Messiah had finally arrived. That's Anna. She's quite a unique woman. Let's find out those four traits to do with her. Trait or characteristic number one, she was a gifted prophetess. A gifted prophetess. We read in verse 36, there was also a prophet called Anna. She had a unique gift of declaring and interpreting messages. Now, in the Old Testament, we read of four other female prophets. If I give you a quick question and answer session here, your question, your starter for 10, as Bamber Gascoigne used to say, is, can you name them? Do you know the names of the four female prophets in the Old Testament? Well, the first one's easy, Miriam, the sister of Moses. Then you got Deborah, one of the judges. And then you've got a lady with a strange name, Huldah. Huldah in 2 Kings 22, and then you got Noadiah in Nehemiah chapter 6. And then we're told in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 3, there was another female prophet, but we don't have a name. So there are five female prophets that we know about in our Old Testament. Ah, here's another question for you then. Out of the five, which one's the false prophet? Not all prophets are true. Amongst the good, you find the fake. Well, if you want to know, it's Noadiah from Nehemiah 6, 12 to 14, who gave a false message, a false message. But if we come to the New Testament, we're told Philip in Acts chapter 21, verses 8 to 9, had four daughters who had the gift of prophecy. What I like about the Old Testament prophets is the variety of their ministry. Anna was a prophetess. She's interesting because she's not got the New Testament gift of prophecy. And I don't think she's really an Old Testament prophet because Jesus said John the Baptist was the last of those. So she's in a little category of her own. But in the Old Testament prophets were never one-dimensional. They didn't just stand up and said, this is about the future. Old Testament prophets' ministry divides into at least 8 different sections. And it makes a good little study in itself. There are those who foretold the message, but a lot of them just spoke to the nation about their sin and judgment. Some of them were just visible signs. Lie on your side for a whole year. Can you imagine that? So different types of ministry for that particular gift. Now, when it comes to Anna, she's in between. The Holy Spirit hasn't come with the spiritual gift of prophecy, as in the New Testament, and she's not the Old Testament prophet. So who is she and what does she do? And you'd be glad to know that not many people actually know. Most Bible scholars, if they're honest, say we don't quite know, because for 400 years, until John the Baptist appeared, heaven had been silent. That's why between your Old Testament and your New Testament, you often have a blank page. It's symbolic that between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are 400 years where there was no thus says the Lord. There was no the word of the Lord came. Heaven was silent, dumb. So what was her gift? We don't know. It could have been foretelling, new revelation. She may have been forthtelling, simply explaining clearly the message of the scriptures in the temple. We don't know. But a prophet or a prophetess's primary function is to hear what God is saying and share it with the people. To hear what God is saying and share it with the people. A prophet is the opposite of a priest. A priest listens to the people and talks to God on their behalf. But a prophet listens to what God says and brings a message to the people. And Anna had this ability to convey God's message. And because of that, she was greatly respected, she was valued, and she was even allowed to live in the temple, in the dwellings that were there. Now, does anyone recognize this photograph? King George V. King George V. And if you want a bit of trivia, he made the very first Christmas Day broadcast. We're used to having the King's Speech or the Queen's Speech on Christmas. Actually, it's quite a new invention. It started in 1932 with this guy when he made his first Christmas Day radio broadcast. And he wrote at 3:35, I broadcasted a short message of 251 words to the whole empire. Well, that's what he wrote in his diary, but actually he told a fib, because it was actually broadcast or recorded at a different time when the light was brighter, but it went out at that particular time. Now, on another occasion, there's another story that is true because it's documented in many newspapers across America, where he was invited in America to give a radio broadcast across many states at a disarmament conference. The speech was relayed by radio, and the broadcast was about to begin when somebody tripped over a cable and it snapped. Everyone was waiting, but the cable was broke. A million listeners, but no sound. A junior mechanic at the station, a man called Harold Vivian, decided to pick up the two cables, and the electricity or the waves went through his body and out the other side. And he stood there doing it. One newspaper reported it this way, quote, "His arms twitching with electrical shock, Harold Vivian literally spliced with his body a broken link in the vast hookup and made it possible for the 59 North American stations to hear the king. Vivian held on for 20 minutes as the king's message transmitted through him, never letting go, never losing hope, never surrendering faith until the new wires could be connected." End of quote. In other words, he became the living link that connected the message of the king with the people of his nation. And I'm sure you can see the application. That's what a prophetess did. That's what we are called to do. We are called to get hold of the king and his message and be the living link to those who don't know, those who haven't heard. So Anna was a prophetess. Now you might say, but I'm not gifted like that. Well, don't worry. We're all gifted. We all have the ability to share our testimony, to share our story. Let's see the second thing about Anna. She was a daughter. Verse 36 says, "There was a prophet called Anna from the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher." Now, that's Phanuel's only mention in the whole of the New Testament. And he only gets the mention because he got a famous daughter. She's the star, not him. So why is he mentioned? Is it important? Well, it's important for Anna because one's ancestry, one's pedigree is very important in certain cultures and especially in Judaism. Phanuel was a member of the tribe of Asher. Asher was one of the tribes of Israel. And really they're saying this lady is kosher. She's pedigree. You know, if you go out and you buy a puppy, you can go down the rescue center and just buy a puppy. That's not a problem. They're almost kind of giving them away. But if you want a dog that's got pedigree and you get a certificate and you know who the parents of that dog was and the parents of that dog, where the breeding came, so you've got a pure dog that is a dog of quality, you pay big bucks for it. And that's the equivalent here. By pointing out she's a daughter and her tribe, they're saying this woman is quality. She's like a stick of rock. If you break her open, she's got godly dew all the way running through her. Now, I could trace my ancestry all the way back to Anthony James Curley. I can see you're impressed. If you want to know who Anthony James Curley was, he was my dad. Oh, you're not impressed anymore, are you? My dad was born in America, and at age 16, sadly, his parents were killed in a car crash. So my dad and his brother came over to the UK and lived with a relative. Now, by the time I came along and our brothers and sisters, we don't know what happened to my dad's brother. We don't know what happened to the relative. We have no history at all on my dad's side. All I know was from his birth certificate, he was born in America, and he came over here aged 16. So I cannot trace, I've tried, I cannot get any further than one generation back. But Anna, hey, Phanuel, tribe of Asher, she could go back. This woman's got pedigree. This woman's got a quality about her that most people won't have. She was a daughter. And I just bring that because just like she had a pedigree, every Christian here has a pedigree. You realize that? You're either an orphan outside of Christ or you're part of God's family. John put it this way in John 1. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We're part of a big family. Children born not of natural descent or a human decision. It wasn't because two adults got together to make a baby that we're here today. Not born of a husband's will, born of God. And in chapter 3 of John, he explains what it is to be born again. We have new life and we're part of a big family and we can trace our heritage all the way back to God himself. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. And whoever believes joins that family. There's a saying, I tried using this in Moldova, it didn't half baffle them, so I'll use it on you and see if it baffles you. There's a saying, if you're born twice, you die once. But if you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. But if you're born once, you die twice. Let me explain it. If you're born twice, that means if you have a human birth, and everyone here has had one, but you also have a spiritual birth, you are born again, you become a Christian, a follower of Jesus. The Bible says you only die once. You have a physical death, but then you go and you're in the presence of Jesus forever. But if you're born once, you just have a physical birth and you die. The Bible says you have a second death when God says, depart from me, I never knew you. Spiritual separation. It might not be nice, it might not be pleasant, but it's what the Bible teaches. That's why we go out to a lost world. That's why we're on a rescue mission. Why are we singing Jesus Saves if he doesn't save people from something? It's not an optional extra. We are in a lost situation. And without Christ, people die and they perish. And we can't have a heaven if there's not a hell. The two rise and fall together. If there's no hell, there's no heaven. But if we're born twice, we only die once. We're part of that spiritual lineage. And we're called to live a life worthy of the King. Hey, we're part of a family. You know, when Prince Harry started playing up, everyone was scandalized. You know why? Look at him. All the privileges he's had. He's part of a palace. He's had everything he ever wanted. He's had the best of educations, the best of this, the best. And look how he behaves. Well, other people behave like him. So why are we making an example of Harry? Because he's part of the royal family. You expect higher standards from someone in the royal family than someone raised on a council estate with none of the privileges. Just as when a police officer falls, it's always on the news because we expect higher standards from the police force than Joe Public because of their position. And if we claim to belong to the King, we're in his family, then the world has a right to look at us and expect higher standards. Our character should reflect the fact we belong to the King, how we behave. And our language and the way we convey the gospel should reflect the fact we belong to the King. So she was a daughter. A daughter. Third thing that draws to me is she was a devoted widow. Look at verse 36. She was very old. Now, Derek, she's older than you, all right? She was very old. You're just old. I'm getting older, but she was very old. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow for 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. So when Anna encounters Jesus, Mary and Joseph at the temple, she is described here as an old woman, an elderly widow. And you have to kind of do a little bit of mathematics. If she'd been married 7 years when she became a widow, and she remained a widow then for the rest of her life, that might indicate that she was 84 years old when she met Jesus. It's also possible to translate the text to mean Anna lived 84 years after her husband died. You can take it either way. If she was married when she was maybe 16 or 17, she's at least 100. However you do the mathematics, at least 100 years old and still serving God. I was at a conference and I did a seminar last week on the work I do at Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park. And there was a lot there from the Open Air Mission. And I said, look, you guys, you do this every day. So I don't know why I'm doing a seminar for you. You should be doing one for me. And I showed a little walkthrough of the Speaker's Corner, speeded up walk through the park and saying, look, this happens, this happens. And by chance, I hadn't planned it, a guy came onto the screen called Billy. Billy is 90 years old and will be there most weeks at Speaker's Corner. And I stopped. I said, he's one of your guys. He was a former Open Air Mission. He's been retired 35 years, but every Sunday afternoon, you find him down Speaker's Corner. And when I see Billy, I think, I hope I've got a passion for evangelism when I'm 90, like Billy. Anna served God in her elderly years. Now, being a widow just kind of highlights her vulnerability. There were no social services. There wasn't a free place in the care home. There was not even free NHS medical care. At the time of the New Testament, every widow was dependent on their children to support them or other family members. She's been a widow for 80 plus years. She's got no children. Who's going to look after her? Well, the simple answer is God. God has taken care of her. She's living in the temple serving him, and God is meeting her needs. But she's vulnerable, vulnerable. And there are two things that must have broke her heart in life. One, she lost her husband. And some of you know what it is to lose a husband. You know the void and the gap and the heartache. And also, she's had no children. And some of you know what it is to not have children. She could have been so bitter against God. But the opposite. She's rejoicing in God and serving God. This is, anyone know what this building is? The Burj Khalifa in Dubai. It is the tallest building in the world. 2,700 feet, in other words, over half a mile tall. Just one building. It has 160 floors. It is twice the size of the Empire State Building in New York. It is the home of the world's fastest elevator. The elevator goes 40 miles an hour. Can you imagine doing 40 miles an hour going up the floors? It has the world's largest outdoor observation deck on the 125th floor, and it hosts the world's highest swimming pool on the 76th floor. Pretty impressive. I just Googled the world's highest, and all these facts come up, but one fact never appeared. Do you know that? It told me all about the glory upward. Not a single Google site returned anything about the foundations. Because that building is only as good as its foundations. If you don't believe me, go to Italy and visit the famous tower that's leaning. Dodgy foundations, brilliant foundations, good structure. Anna had foundations. She was a devout widow, but she's got character, she's got substance, she's got foundations. And character is like the foundations of a house. It is unseen but essential. And note the two things we're told about her character. First, she never left the temple but worshipped night and day. My wife says that about me coming to Duncan Row sometimes. You might as well take your bed up there. You seem to be there all the time. And some of you have had those comments about you at times. But Anna lived in the temple. I think that just means she lived a life of worship. She lived a life of worship. No one could ever call her a Sunday-only Christian. Every day she lived for the Lord. And then second, we're told, she dedicated herself to prayer and fasting. Do you know what? I would have been so impressed if it just said she dedicated herself to prayer. And I said, good for you, girl. But the fact it puts and fasting on is a dagger again in my heart to say, you know, come on. She went the extra mile to show her commitment to God. What are you doing? And it's something we talked about at our elders' retreat recently. Again, fasting, because it's come up a few times. That if we want to get serious with God, we want to see God working in this church, we want to see God working in our lives and answering our prayers, it costs. There's a cost involved. She prayed and she fasted and she was effective in her ministry. And if we're not effective in our ministry, is it because we're not praying? We're not fasting? We're not often enough in the house of the Lord? And what is encouraging to me is this, that she had a supernatural gift, prophecy. I can't have prophecy, but I can copy her disciplines. I can meet with God's people on a regular basis. And meeting with God's people should be a priority for all of us, whenever we can. And she prayed and fasted. No gift of prayer, no gift of fasting. They are disciplines we choose to do. And that's what shaped her. That's what made her the godly woman she is. So I haven't got the gift of prophecy. But prophecy doesn't make character. If you want evidence of that, think of the church at Corinth. They had every spiritual gift under the sun, and they're the most carnal church in the New Testament. It is the disciplines of the Christian life that bring character. Spiritual gifts help us in our service to do jobs better. They don't change the person, but prayer and fasting and fellowship do change us. So we can all experience and work on the disciplines of the Christian life and allow God to gift us for whatever calling we've got. And then the last thing, she was a witness. Verse 38. To satisfy the Old Testament law, Mary and Joseph turn up at the temple, and when they do, Anna sees the baby, and this is her gift of prophecy. She looks at a baby that everyone else in the temple is looking at, and she can see he's the Savior, the Messiah, the Deliverer. No one else saw that, but Anna revealed that to all who would listen. That's her gift coming out in all its glory and blessing others. She shares the good news. I've probably gone out of my time. Let me just finish by giving you this quote from Stuart Briscoe. Stuart Briscoe said, when it comes to evangelism, these are the four keys. Care, dare, share, and prayer. Care, dare, share, and prayer. Stuart Briscoe, brilliant Bible teacher. You find him on YouTube and on Christian radio stations. Great author. Care, show concern for people. If we don't love them, they're not going to be won. Dare. Hey, it takes courage to speak out to someone, especially a stranger, and even more courage if they're a friend or a family member. But dare to do it. Share. Hey, we have to share our lives, not just our words. Sometimes it takes time. And then prayer. Never discount the effectiveness of praying for someone. We should pray before, during, and after if we want to be effective evangelists. So if you take nothing away this morning, those four words might just be something you can remember. Care, God, give me a concern for others. Dare, give me courage to act on that concern. Share, help me to know what to say or what to do. And prayer, I'm going to follow it up by praying. Let's pray. Lord, apply these words to every heart, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.